AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, once again here on your Thursday. Now, we generally have had the Democrat of the day, but we're going to talk about the Hennepin County Attorney's race, which is a non-political race. So this is just the candidate of the day. How about we say it like that? Candidate of the day. Hennepin County Attorney's race, the latest one to join us is Jarvis Jones. He's kind enough to take some time today to talk about his campaign, what his vision would be if he's the Hennepin County Attorney, and how you can get more information about his campaign. Jarvis, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir, for having me on.
First of all, I always start the same way here. Why don't you take some time here and introduce yourself? Who exactly is Jarvis Jones?
Okay. Well, Jarvis Jones, a little background on me. I've been practicing litigation for over 30 years, litigation experience. I also was president of the Minnesota State Bar, over 28,000 lawyers. I'm president of the Hennepin County Bar Association, over 9,000 lawyers. I was also elected twice president of the Minnesota Minority Lawyers Association, an umbrella group of all minority lawyers. So I've been active in the legal community for quite some time. I've been on the, as I mentioned, practicing over 25 years, but I also have been on the business side. I was a vice president at Fortune 300 company, and so I've been on the business side too. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I grew up in the inner city of Chicago. I migrated up north. I went to St. Olaf, so I'm a good Umyaya Scandinavian, even though I'm African-American, and I went to William Mitchell Law School. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, on the legal side, you've hit every button for Minnesota. Well done on that. I will say that. Why then, you've got your incredibly successful career. You have a lot on your side. What made you say, you know what, with the Hennepin County Attorney's race open, I'm going to run for it? What was your call on that?
I got in the race a little later than some of the candidates. And the primary reason was, I believe we're being given a false choice. And that's between safe streets and treating people fairly. Some people call it treating people fairly social justice reform. So we can call it social justice reform and making sure people are treated fairly in the criminal justice system. People believe right after George Floyd, it was social justice. With crime rising, now it's safe streets. We need both, safe streets and treating people fairly. I believe a lot of our politicians or elected officials really don't believe we can have both. In order for us, what people don't know, growing up in the inner city of Chicago, I grew up in a neighborhood called the Inglewood neighborhood, which is known as the mass murder capital of Chicago. So I know what it means to be unsafe. But what I also, although I very much believe folks who do wrong need to be held accountable. Nothing about me is soft on crime. I also know we got to build relationships in those communities and re-earn the trust of people in that community, or we're not going to have safe streets in our suburbs and surrounding areas. So that's why, because I believe I'm one of the only candidates saying we can do both at the same time, safe streets and treating people fairly.
And definitely, the addressing of public safety is kind of the main issue that all the candidates have talked about here. Your title here, I'm looking at your website and your vision here. I want to get in a little bit more detail here. Public safety with accountability. In your mind, what does that look like?
Okay. When people ask me, I'll be very specific. Well, first I want to say this, and this goes to why I got in the race and what it looks like. When people ask me, as you said, it's a nonpartisan race, but Democrats run this town. In Minneapolis, I'm saying Minneapolis, not the whole town, but I've said a lot, Minneapolis, disproportionately, is Minneapolis voters. Well, I've been a Democrat all my life, but I think people want both. But people are concerned about crime is out of control. We need, as prosecutors, job number one is to keep Hennepin County residents safe. I unapologetically say we're going to take back our streets, we're going to take back our neighborhoods, and we're going to take back the downtown Minneapolis. And at the same time, with the emphasis at the same time, we're going to make sure all residents, particularly residents of color, are going to be treated with respect, dignity, and fairness. Now, how am I going to do that? Short term, I'm putting in place a violent crime initiative. which works with other key stakeholders in the criminal justice system, which would be the public defender's office, and prosecutors and public defenders usually don't work together. We will. I'll be working with law enforcement, and I'll be working with the judiciary. They will be part of that initiative so we can come up with long-term solutions to reduce violent crime, carjackings, which is a major issue, and repeat offenders. We'll focus on that initiative. That will be my top priority. Now, someone who's came from senior management, how do you do that? You prioritize your budget. I will take a hard look at the budget, how we're spending our money, reallocate money towards initiatives that will reduce crime. Secondly, a lot of people don't know, but there's about 100 attorneys on the civil side in the Hennepin County attorney doing civic work, contract work, other type of work. Well, many of those attorneys are going to come over to the criminal side. We're going to have all hands on deck to focus on crime. So I'm going to reshuffle personnel. I'm going to reshuffle priorities. Thirdly, the issues we focus on, I believe in accountability. But for some of the nonviolent, low-level offenses, we over-criminalize that. So I believe in also at the same time reducing the footprint of mass incarceration by not over-criminalizing low-level, nonviolent offenses such as people who are homeless, people who have addictions, people who have mental illnesses. We over-criminalize that. So, sorry, I wish I could give you. I never run for office. I know my people on the campaign said, Jarvis, you got to do 15-second sound bites. Well, I wish the solutions were 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, you're sounding fine right now. And the reality is that none of these issues are 15-second issues. And they shouldn't be 15. Sure. These shouldn't be 15-second issues because we are dealing with a lot of issues there. You talk a lot about the crime issue, and that's obviously a big problem there. And obviously some of that is going to be in regards to Mayor Fry. He's got to get out there and he's got to, it's his responsibility to get those police numbers back up. But the reality is talking about accountability. We do have a problem here at times with police that seem to be to a point out of control. After George Floyd, we've had the Stallings case that came on out, where not only did they attack Stallings with unjustification and beat him in the street, but then they prosecuted him for a crime they clearly he did not commit, and they knew he hadn't committed because they saw the body cam footage. You have the Amir Locke shooting, the no-knock warrants there. Talk a little bit about that because, that is the other side of it. As you say, there are two sides to these stories. On one side, you do have a crime issue. You got to talk about that. But how about the accountability when it comes to making sure the policing there is there to protect and serve as opposed to, in some cases, abuse?
Okay. Yes, sir. I really love and appreciate you asking me how you paired the two. Yes, we need safe streets, but we also got to treat people with dignity and respect and fairly. This is my position on that, and it's multi-layered, but I'll do it very succinctly. I'll try my best. One, I believe the overwhelming majority of police want to keep us safe and go home safely to their family. My brother and sister, first-generation inner-city Chicago police officers, I've never known any police officers who I like other than my brother and sister before now. And when I said I don't know any I like, I didn't know any on a personal level. So I think a lot of them want to do the work, but there is absolutely people on the street talk about snitching. Well, the police culture has the same culture. Even though I believe the overwhelming majority of police officers want to do well, and they know who the bad officers are, they don't snitch either on each other. There's a blue wall. You never cross that. So it's a whole culture. You got to. I don't know, you can 5% bad apples, 3%, 10, 15, you name it. But the other 80% that are silent. So that's one. Two, as an African-American male growing up in the inner city of Chicago, I know what it means to be walking down the street, minding my business, and harassed by police officers. Right now, I told the audience yesterday we're at a debate. One of the candidates was saying there's no problem with culture. And I explained to him, this one is candidate. I said, if I take off my bow tie and my suit right now and go in Minneapolis, even though I was president of the state bar, Hennepin County bar, never got in trouble in my life, it's a good chance I will be treated like a suspect first when police officers drive by and pull me over, because I'll look just like all the other black folks out there. Now, we folks know that to be true. driving while black and being treated like a suspect first until we prove ourselves innocent. Okay, that's nice, Jarvis. We know the problem. So what do I say? One, the only way to reason the police, one is a cultural thing with the police department. I can't change that. But I can, as a prosecutor, not bring some of these charges we know on their face lack credibility. A lot of times the prosecutor, because they want to keep good relationships with the police department, they bring these minor bogus charges. On their face, they're minor bogus charges. That's my view. But the problem is these young men end up with records. Long term, the more they keep being brought in the system by these minor type of charges, they add up. And all of a sudden, they're treated differently. Secondly, I'm putting in place, I know Keith Ellison well, I know all these folks well, but I'm not, my job is to handle these cases by the police department. So I'm creating an independent internal investigation unit that will investigate police officer misconduct. We're going to, and it'll be staffed with only senior attorneys who manage folks who does not have a day-to-day relationship with the police officer, because I don't believe anyone is above the law. So I know both sides. Law, in a nutshell, law, most of them want to do their job, but I know also the law enforcement often treats, I ain't saying all of them, you take your percentage, 1%, 20%, often treat people of color in the community as second-class citizens, and we got to stop that. Mm-hmm. That's my answer, sir.
Jarvis Jones joining us, a candidate for Hennepin County attorney. It is Hennepin County here. Let's talk about one of the things I want the candidates to talk about is the rest of the county as well. I mean, there's obviously a lot of focus on Minneapolis and what's going on there. But talk about the role throughout the rest of the county. What are some of the issues there that you want to make sure you would address as the Hennepin County attorney?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I've been in this community as an assistant graduating from St. Olaf. And I've been out there canvassing, talking to folks all over Hennepin County, not just Minneapolis, you're right. And what my message is, we got to have safe streets, whether that's in Minneapolis or Edina. But one of the things that caught my attention is there's been crime in Minneapolis for quite some time. And we thought, as long we didn't like it being in Minneapolis, but we threw up our hands, what can we do? But as long as it stayed there, we were unhappy with it, but what can we do? All of a sudden, I started seeing in the Star Tribune every other day this year an article about crime. I was just reading the headlines. My wife reads the whole thing. I just look at it quickly in the morning. I'm like, what's going on? So finally, I started reading it, and it's about, why is it in the paper every other day now? Because it's crime that has spread out to the suburbs. I say that to say, carjacking, et cetera. Folks in the suburb, what I'm finding, their number one concern is the same as folks in Minneapolis. And so my message to them is, we, when I say neighborhood, I didn't just say Minneapolis neighborhood. We are going to make sure we're going to do everything we can to reduce crime in all neighborhoods. And how do I do that? Everyone says that. This is one of the keys. When I say we can't, unless we build trust and confidence in Minneapolis, we cannot have safe streets in the surrounding suburbs. We have to. One of the things I bring is many of these troubled young men, we know it's troubled young men, particularly in Minneapolis and many of our diverse community. I don't need a translator to go into the community and speak to these young men and to speak to community leaders. That's home for me. When I go back, all my family still live in Chicago. When I go back to Chicago, home to the inner city of Chicago, I'm back home. And so when I'm in talking, I'm at a church, Zion Baptist Church this Sunday. I'm at home. And so we got to build that trust. And still, I'm going to make unpopular decisions with that community, with certain community, because when I say what the law officer did was justified, people are going to be upset. But I will have been in that community on a weekly basis, which I view as part of my job, building that trust, building that relationship. So when I say law enforcement did the right thing, there'll still be some people who call me a traitor or whatever. But I can go back there and explain it because I have built the relationships. That's what's missing from a lot of these other folks who got Scandinavian names. Nothing wrong with that. I went to St. Olaf, so I love Scandinavian. They don't, it's difficult for them to go in there and walk in the same shoes and build the trust that I know I can build.
Jarvis Jones, once again, candidate for Hennepin County Attorney. Now, here's a little bit of information for everyone out there. The primary that comes up is not going to be like a traditional primary you see where it's one party versus the other. All the candidates will be on the ballot. The top two vote getters on August 9th will face off on the general election in November. If you would like more information about Jarvis Jones, his candidacy for Hennepin County Attorney, Jarvis, what's the website so people should find out all the information they can about you?
Jarvis Jones gonna win. No, I'm kidding. www.jarvisjones, J-A-R-V-I-S, J-O-N-E-S, or Hennepin.com. So Jarvis Jones to Hennepin.com. I need some bridge builders who want to bring this community together. Please go there, volunteer. We need people canvassing. If you like what I'm saying, and we're going to do it together. Amen.
If you'd like to volunteer or like to donate, once again, it's JarvisJonesForHennepin.com, JarvisJonesForHennepin.com. I'll spotlight this interview, and we'll make sure we link to everything a little bit later on. Jarvis, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
And thank you, sir. I appreciate you giving me an audience.
By all means. Jarvis Jones, a candidate for Hennepin County Attorney, candidate of the day. We'll take a break and finish up the hour when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.